And I would like to welcome the children to come forward this time and meet me up here at the front if you would like. And if you want to bring a friend with you, feel free to do that. This will be my first time to get to talk to you all today. And I was so excited to see you, I came up here early. So come on up. All right, I've got some things here with me. Let me see if I can do this here. All right, you watching? All right, I'm going to try to get this one on first. These are kind of difficult here. What do you think these things are? What do they look like? What are they? Yeah, they're gloves. And then I've got this thing here. So if you saw me out in the yard with these things, what would you think I was doing? Yeah, you might think I was digging. What else? Somebody said gardening. Yeah. So I might even be out there planting seeds. Now, if you all actually saw me out in a garden dressed like this with a white robe on, you would probably just think I was crazy. This isn't really good gear for gardening. But yes, that's what these are. And who has planted a seed before? Has anybody planted a seed or gardened? Yeah. What did you have to do when you planted that seed? Yeah, you had to water it, and what else? Anything else? Yeah, I had to give it sunshine, and you had to take care of it, right? Well, today, Jesus tells this story, tells a story of a farmer or a sower who goes out and starts planting seed everywhere. And a lot of the seed fails to grow, but then some of the seed finds good soil, and it starts to sprout and grow. And in the reading that we heard today, Jesus' explanation of that is that the soil is sort of like the Word of God, or the way that God wants us to love and live among each other. And the parable sort of promises us that if we tend to that seed that is planted in our hearts, that it will grow, and then it becomes something that we can share with others as well. So do you think you all can help me tend to God's love in the people that you meet and in the world around you as you go about your everyday? Do you think you can do that for me? Great. All right, let's have a quick prayer together, okay? Gracious Lord, it is a wonderful thing to recognize that you plant good seeds all around us. Be with these young persons and all of us as we seek to grow in your goodness and grace. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Thank you. So over the next several weeks, we are going to be hearing some of Jesus' parables as they are told in the Gospel of Matthew. And in fact, all of these parables come from just the 13th chapter of Matthew's Gospel. And they come from a section that's sometimes called the Parables Discourse. And that simply means that this is a section in the heart of Matthew's Gospel where Jesus gives glimpses of what it means to be in the presence of God and what it looks like to live under the reign of God. These stories come at the peak of Jesus' ministry, and after he has been challenged for some of those unconventional ways that he's been healing and tending to those who were sick or mired in poverty and those on the margins. And so he begins to tell these stories so that people might understand something about what it is to be in the kingdom of God. Now, of all the different stories and types of writing that you find in the Bible, I think that the parables are among some people's most favorite parts of the New Testament. Just last Friday, I was up in my office on the third floor, and I started to head down the hallway to pick up something off the printer. And I noticed across the way, in another room, were some of the volunteers who come up here every Friday to get our bulletins put together for the Sunday services. And so I stopped in to say hello, and we began talking with one another. And they said, well, what are you going to be preaching on? And I said, well, for about the next 3 weeks, we're going to be hearing some different parables. And one of those volunteers said, oh, I am so glad about that. I just love the parables. And then as we continued talking, it became obvious that we all had a special place in our hearts for the parables. And you know, why shouldn't it be that way? I mean, the parables have everything that appeals to us as listeners or readers. They contain vivid imagery, unexpected occurrences, and there's a sense of mystery and wonder. And you know what? Sometimes parables are even confusing. But I think most importantly, parables are intended to sort of catch us off guard. They are intended to challenge our preconceived notions about the way things are. They invite us to imagine new ways of being and doing in the presence of God. And of course, this is sort of the trouble with parables, that many of us are so familiar with them that sometimes it keeps us from being able to hear them in a way that maybe they were meant to be heard. They fail to surprise us anymore, and we think we already know exactly what it is that they mean. So over the next several weeks, whether you are hearing these parables for the first time or the 100th time, I want to invite you to get lost in their mysterious imagery and their surprising outcomes. See what new things they might awaken in your heart and mind as you hear them. And maybe, just maybe, your holy imagination will be awakened. Now, I think one way for us to do that is to simply think about how these parables might have been heard the first time they were told. Now, it's impossible to do that, but we can imagine. So I want to invite you to imagine for a minute that you are in that crowd, that you're standing on the shore of the sea looking up at this boat and trying to hear and listen to this preacher and teacher and healer who has been causing such a stir in the community. Now, perhaps you've come purely because you're curious and you want to see what this person's all about. Or maybe you have heard of this person's care for the sick and for the marginalized, and you've come seeking some sort of message of healing or hope. But whatever the reason, you expect to hear something very profound. But then what does this person do? He gets up there and he begins to tell a simple story. And he tells this story about a farmer or a sower who goes out to plant seeds. And as this person is going about his work, seeds are spilling everywhere. So seeds are being dropped on a path where birds can come and take them away before they ever have a chance to grow. Other seeds are falling in rocky soil where they are shallow and they can't really take root, and so they perish. And then he says still other seeds are ending up amongst vines and bushes that choke out these seeds. And you know, as you stand there listening to this story for the first time, you know what you're probably thinking to yourself? This is a really terrible farmer. Because you know a thing or two about farming. See, you live in a place and a time where planting seeds and harvesting crops is crucial to your livelihood and survival. It's really important to get a good yield. And so you already know what the end of this story is going to be. This sounds to you like a story of lost opportunity. It's one of disappointment, one maybe of starvation, perhaps even death. But you know one thing for certain, that it's not going to be a good outcome. But then just as you've come to that conclusion, Jesus continues and he says, "And some of the seed fell on good soil." And so you think, well, that's a positive step in the right direction, but still so much other seed is out there, surely there can't be a good yield. And yet Jesus says that this farmer's harvest brought forth a yield of 30, 60, even 100-fold in some spots. Now that is probably the time that you think to yourself, "Oh, come on, Jesus, that is the most ridiculous thing that I have ever heard. Everyone who knows anything knows that a good crop would be maybe a 10-fold yield and an excellent crop would be 15-fold. And I'm supposed to believe that this awful farmer who dropped seeds all over the place received that kind of return? Give me a break." Now, I imagine this is a little bit like today when we're watching a movie and all these really incredibly unbelievable things happen that it almost gets hard to follow the story anymore because you're just like, I can't take that. That's how I feel every time I watch the classic Superman movie with Christopher Reeves. You know the one I'm talking about? If you do, then you know the scene I'll talk about too. It's where he finds that his love, Lois Lane, has been killed in a rock slide. And he feels really guilty about this because he thinks he could have saved her. In a fit of passion and rage, he flies off into outer space. And what does he do? He starts to fly around the globe, and he flies opposite of the rotation of the Earth. And so what happens? The Earth starts to spin backwards. And then, of course, what happens next? Well, time goes backwards, duh. And that's when I think to myself, this is the stupidest thing I have ever seen. And I know I'm saying that in the midst of a movie about a man flying around in blue and red spandex. But then, at that moment, when Superman comes back down and he sees Lois Lane alive and you see the smile on his face, I realize that this really isn't a movie or story that's supposed to tell me anything about the science of time and space. This is a story about the truth of love and the depth of love and the lengths that someone might go to for someone they care about. And so then I'm kind of right there back with the movie again. And so I think that might have been how it was for the first hearers of this parable, that it seemed absolutely ridiculous. But then, as they had time to let it sink in and processed it a bit, I think they might have started to think, well, maybe there is something more to this tale. What could Jesus be trying to tell us about the presence and power of God through such a story? Now, if I had been standing there in that crowd, I think the first thing that would have stood out to me above all others is that unbelievable yield, that harvest. What I expected to be a story of disappointment and devastation and death turns out to be a story of abundance and hope and life. So my first thought would have been that this is a story about possibility, about what can happen. So maybe to live in the presence of God is to live in a state of possibility. There's a sense that life can be found against all odd, and that hope may still be present when it seems that it's not. That even a good crop might come from some really bad planting. So then I start to reevaluate a bit, and I think to myself, well, gosh, this struck me as a story about a terrible sower. But the more I think about it, and even though I'm not sure about all of his farming techniques, there's something special about the hope with which this sower plants seeds. There's something good about that. But according to Matthew, the disciples weren't content to just let the story lie there. Now, it's important to remember that Jesus never explained the parable to the crowds. And I wonder if that's partly because he wanted them to continue to think about them. Because sometimes to explain stories like that dulls our ability to ponder all the possibilities. But nevertheless, Matthew tells us that the apostles wanted an explanation. And I think that's fairly normal human nature, to want to understand something that seems mysterious or confusing. And so Jesus gives an explanation according to Matthew and says that the seeds are like the word of the kingdom of God sown, and it's a tale about how that word is received. And so this explanation has led to all sorts of sermons and talks and Bible studies that seem to ask us, what is the state of our soil? They ask us to consider, are we as individuals receptive to God's love and to growing in God's grace? And that is all well and good. But sometimes I think there can be a problem with the way we talk about that. Yes, the downside to this is that sometimes it makes it sound as if our bearing good fruit is all up to us. It's just something that we do alone. And then also it makes it sound as if the goal of a life alongside God is all about growing in a solitary faith. And so the really bad thing that can happen with this is I start to picture the field, and I see a vast sort of wasteland of rocky paths and shallow soil, vines and bushes creeping up, and then just every so often, a patch of overabundance of growth of good crop. It's as if the seeds growing in the good soil have nothing to do with all of the places where the seed languishes. But you know, as I thought about this week, I said, that doesn't sound like the abundance and possibility that I think I might have heard in the original parable. So I found myself thinking, okay, what does this mean? And I thought maybe, just maybe, when Jesus says, listen and hear, he's saying pay attention, but not only pay attention to yourself, pay attention to the fact that this goodness is spread all around, just waiting to be nurtured. God's love and grace is everywhere, and maybe you have a role in tending the fields. Now, I thought about when I was a kid, and I used to go to my paternal grandparents' house. They were from right here in Middle Tennessee, but they grew up on farms in the rural parts of the state, and they always had a love of the land. Now, by the time I was born, they lived in Hendersonville, but they still had a nice lot on the lake, and they loved to grow things in their yard. And so in the front yard, my grandmother had an expansive rock garden. And in the backyard, they would plant all sorts of fruits and vegetables, and my grandfather even had a fruit tree. Well, many fruit trees. And as I thought about this story of seed growing only in good soil, I thought to myself that my grandparents knew how to grow seeds in all sorts of strange places. My grandmother knew which plants would do really well in sunlight and which ones would do well in the shade. She knew what plants might work well around rocks and which ones might need to be out in the open. And my grandfather, he knew how to take care of the soil that was around the vegetables and fruits that they grew in the ground. And he also knew how to cover the trees to protect them from the birds that would come in to try to steal the fruit, and sometimes the squirrels as well. And as I thought about this, I wondered, is this really what Jesus wants us to pay attention to? That it's only the first step that this crop is growing abundantly in certain places. The real promise is that everything is seeded and waiting for us to come alongside the work that God has already started. And if this seed is a word, if it is a word, then it's the living word. It's the life of healing and wholeness that Jesus lived out and invites us to live in together. And so we're not just tending our soil, but we're tending the fields together. I caught just a little glimpse of this last Sunday morning when I met with the leaders of the West End United Methodist Covenant Discipleship groups. And they told me about how they come together and make a covenant or a promise to one another to meet as small groups and to create a covenant or something that they plan to live by. And they agree to read scripture and participate in discussions with one another. But they also pray for each other. And they also commit to go and do works of justice and mercy. And you know, it's not work that they do alone. It's something that's already been started by God, and they grow in God's grace, and fruit is produced. But then they also help one another in this life of faith. And then the work of the harvest of their work increases, and their work goes out into the community and continues to grow and multiply. So I heard about how they cared for one another in times of sorrow and need, and helped each other find hope. I also heard all the different ways that they had been drawn into all manners of service and volunteer work and ministries throughout our city and our state and even the globe. Yes, these folks are tending the fields together. And I think that That is a beautiful vision of life lived under God's reign. So my hope as I get to know you better, and as I take on my role here as pastor of spiritual formation at West End, that together we can tend the seeds of God's loving grace that have already been planted in the hearts of the people of West End. And I hope we can also tend to the seeds that are planted all around us in this community, especially in places where they may be struggling to flourish. And I hope we can live out the word that calls us not only to grow in faith, but to seek out the abundant life and hope and joy that is found in the goodness of the God we know in Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God.